Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts in the second chapter, verses 1 through 8, 17 and 18. This is the Pentecost story in the Christian scriptures. Pentecost, of course, the church celebrated last week. Listen for the word of God to you. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, the disciples, that is. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" Peter said to them, "This is to fulfill what the prophet Joel said, 'In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy.'" Our second brief reading from the letter to the Galatians is part of the fruits of that Spirit that was encountered on that Pentecost Sunday. And I read it as we celebrate in the life of the Church Trinity Sunday today. And listen for what the Spirit is saying to the churches. "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus." And may God bless to our understanding the reading and hearing of God's word. The tale of the Spirit descending on a crowd of strangers in Jerusalem is the story about God inviting us to see and believe that the diverse communities of the world are one. It is the undoing, it is the very undoing of the story from the book of Genesis when at the fabled Tower of Babel, all of the unified world had their tongues divided from a common language into multiple languages. And in the confusion, the people searched to find their own groups and then wandered off in different directions. In the Pentecost story from the book of Acts, and also in the vision that was born from it that we read in the letter to the Galatians, we encounter a story of God's vast spiritual power. And it is given in an embrace of strangers and enemies. Given in an embrace of widely divergent cultures and faiths. Given in the name of Jesus, whose lifetime embraced different and despised people, and who in resurrection has promised his followers spiritual power. The Spirit descends, and a tri-unity of divine energy is formed, not to protect cultures or to establish boundaries around religions or nations, but to make global citizens of all the disciples of Jesus. The story says that on the 50th day after Easter, the disciples were together in one place. A sound like a rushing wind filled the house. What appeared to be tongues of fire rested on each of them, and they all began to speak in other languages. The sound of the rushing wind brought a multitude of people from every nation under heaven into that public square, and they all heard the Galileans speaking in their own languages, and they marveled. For they were Mesopotamians and Egyptians, Asians and Arabians, Romans and Libyans, and from many other nations. In other words, they were there from all corners of the known world, and they were Jews and non-Jews. What they heard was Peter preaching about a vision, the dream of the prophet Joel, that young and old, women and men, could all be transformed together. And more than 3,000 people chose to be baptized that day, the book of Acts tells us. So the church was commissioned to spread the vision to everyone, using the strength of the Spirit that in that moment claimed all the world as its own. And in this, Trinity was born, certainly in the way that we experience it and understand it. The Trinity, which in its threeness, in its community, creates a space. Only this space is large enough to hold the entire world. And in the Spirit space that Trinity creates, everyone belongs. 3,000 strangers in Jerusalem and a motley crew of bewildered disciples. On the wings of the Spirit and from this newly discovered space, the disciples will start fanning out all around the world. They understand their mission is to travel everywhere, to spread the vision far and wide in this now borderless and beckoning world. This was the vision from the very beginning, by the way, when God created the whole world, and declared it good. But that vision suffered dreadfully for centuries, clouded out by arguments that closed cultures are more faithful, are safer, or are more truthful. And it suffers now in the prosperity gospel, in the traditions that turn Jesus' gospel of love into brutal enforcement and punishment. That argument, that sense of don't let the Muslims in, that kind of righteousness voiced today, it was there being echoed in Jerusalem back then. It echoed the Pharisees and the Sadducees who said Jews should keep to themselves, who declared that faithfulness is about food and sex and clothing and saying the right prayers, who said pulling away from the rest of the world was the right thing to do. All these arguments were present in Jerusalem on that Pentecost day, and the Spirit descended to blast them all to smithereens. The creation is one, and it is holy in being one, as God is one, with triune faces and aspects that connect to make one sacred space for the world. The Garden of Eden is now the entire planet. And the whole planet has to be home in order for any part of it to be home to anyone at all. So in the Trinity, there is no choice between Pittsburgh and Paris, just as there was no choice between Jerusalem and Rome way back then. Something happened. The vision has been articulated in a completely new way. The false divisions are over. As Paul would one day spell out in his letter to the Galatians, we are one body through Christ. The separateness of race, class, gender, they're meaningless in the Trinity. Later on in the book of Acts, we'll read of Peter's dream. This dream which sent him to Rome to stay in the home of Cornelius, whom he knew ate foods considered unclean by Jewish law, whom he knew was one of the uncircumcised, whom he knew had worshipped idols. In the dream, Peter saw all of the forbidden foods on the kosher do not eat list lowered to him on a sheet from heaven, and he heard the voice of God saying, "Rise, Peter, take and eat." And on the strength of that dream, Peter set aside his fear of what would happen if he let go of the things that separated him from other people, and he reached out toward a new vision of how he was connected to all the peoples of the world. And he went on to Rome to start with Cornelius a church. Peter did not impose upon his church the requirement to become like him, by the way, to become like an Israelite. Instead, he made the foundation of his church the vision of Jesus, and the sharing of Jesus' stories about how unclean people become the holy sons and daughters of God. Trinity is this energy and this work, this vision and this welcome. And most of all, Trinity is this embrace. We are living within the embrace in which the Spirit holds all of us, God, Jesus, and the entire world. When terror happens, and God knows in every age it does happen, it is not the most powerful word. It is not the final word. It's not powerful enough to undo the power of resurrection. Terror cannot separate us from the love and the promise of Easter, just as the cross in its horror could not separate Jesus from God. To pull away from the world in the face of terror would be to separate ourselves from the Trinity, from everything holy, not just from everything fearful. And it is this vision that we are called and commissioned to in the church, not the shouts of the fearful or the foolish or the loud. This vision that we follow is that in life, in death, and in life after death, we are embraced by God's Spirit, and we are one. And it's a vision that's not content to stop at mere diversity, different people being in the same area at the same time. After all, that vision was complete at the very moment of creation. No, the vision of Pentecost isn't complete until it achieves inclusiveness. I've heard it said that diversity is being invited to the party. Inclusiveness is being asked to dance. And when we in the Western Christianity try to visibly express the mystery of the Trinity, we tend to do so by using the form of a triangle. It's a good symbol, and it makes a lot of sense. A triangle, after all, is one, but it's defined by its distinct three sides. But one of the problematic byproducts of this image is that it tends to express a hierarchy, a kind of top-down definition of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the Greek Orthodox tradition, they don't use a triangle. Instead, they use what they call perichoresis. And if you listen closely enough, you can hear the description and definition in the word itself, in the prefix and in the root. Peri, as in perimeter, and choresis, as in choreography or dancing. And this is the way they point to the mystery of the Trinity. Perichoresis, dancing around. The persons of the Trinity are so in love with one another, so happy to be together, so thrilled to be a community, that they dance. They dance so hard and so gleefully that those three very separate, very distinct persons of the Trinity begin to blur together, so much so that you can't tell where one ends and the other begins. Don't you just love that as an image of the Trinity, this circle, this perichoresis dancing around, so carried away in their happy dance of oneness, creating a space in the circle they form that's big enough to embrace the entire world. And not content to stop at simply inviting us to the party, but asking us to join the dance. Can you imagine what it would be like if we caught on to that vision? If being one in community made us so happy and gleeful that we all linked forearms and started dancing around in a great big circle? And what if that dance was so happy and so gleeful that it never stopped? And what if we got so hysterically happy in this dance that we simply had to invite more and more people to dance so that no one would be left out? Too happy to hate, too dizzy to be able to tell what race, what class, what gender, whatever they were. All I'd know is that I've got a hold of this person, I've got a hold of that person, they've got a hold of me, and we've got a hold of each other. And God, through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, I've got the whole world in their hands. Amen.